Congressman Bill Flores joins us this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Scott. Great to be with you.
I'm not happy with the school my kid's going to in College Station. Can you help with that?
It's fascinating you bring that up because I've had several calls about the redistricting or the redrawing of the school zones. And I said, look, the last thing you want is for the federal government to get involved in that. And I said, you've elected local leaders to be on your school board. They're the folks to visit with. And I gave them some ideas, you know, be respectful and talk and go in and try to be factual and not get emotional about it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it helped.
Well, we hope so. Anyway, no, a member of Congress can't do really anything about what's going on in your local school
district.
Nor
would you want them to.
Well, but they thought about you. So
yeah,
we'll go with that. First, I'd like to talk to you about ERCOT yesterday said Texas be ready for a maybe some record numbers as far as power usage is concerned in Texas. And part of the things that they noted were that there have been some coal facilities that have been taken offline. Again, you have a background in energy. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it is going to be troubling. I think we're going to have enough in terms of energy reserves this summer. But what you will see are price spikes. The wholesale price of electricity can jump dramatically, and that does get passed through to us as consumers. So that'll hurt us right here in Bryan College Station. In this district, District 17, we lost 3 coal-fired power plants in the last 18 months, and those were the backbone of providing power to summer users. And so we're going to hurt this summer.
Yeah. Well, they said, of course, TMPA may be able to. But again, when you take these offline and they go away, they go away.
You
can't just kind of flip the switch and
exactly.
Start it up again.
Yeah. I mean, the employees are gone. The boilers are cold. You just don't turn them back on overnight.
So now what do you do? Are those facilities, can they be used for anything else? So you can't retrofit to go to natural gas or anything like that because they're coal facilities?
The cost of retrofit or the cost to modify them is so extreme that it's easier to build a new natural gas-fired plant than it is to build retrofit them.
Sure. So now you're in the district for how long?
Basically 10 days for this particular work period.
Well, let's talk about that. It's just being part of the problem sometimes, that you guys aren't there or the Senate's not there at the same time. And this is already a slow slog anyway in a whole bunch of legislation. But but having these dates like this, does that in your way, in your thought, impede the way that government gets done?
No, not really, particularly in the House. The House can move at a fairly frenetic rate, fairly frenetic pace when we're in session. I mean, if you looked at what we've done in the past few months, or this Congress, we've passed over 560 pieces of legislation, about 500 of them are sitting over in Mitch McConnell's inbox in the Senate, and they have taken no action on them. So we can move. And my view of the world, I think the fact that I can come back to the district and sit down and talk to folks is very helpful. I mean, I've had interactions with over 200 people so far just in the first 4 days of this week. I've got several hundred miles under my belt already. I've got a couple of hundred more miles today to go. I think it's healthy. I mean, that's my job as representative, is not only being D.C., but also being back in the district. So I can learn from what's happening here in the real world.
Yeah. Congressman Bill Flores joining us today. Now, while we're talking about that, you do interact with your voters in town hall forums. You've changed the dates of those. When are those, and why did you make the change?
Well, they're moved to late May, and the reason we moved them is I had a meeting with Paul Ryan the day after we have announced the original dates, which were going to be in late April. And during that meeting with Speaker Ryan, I learned that we are going to get a budget bill up. We're going to have a farm bill up. He is committed to trying to do an immigration bill as well. We may talk about Dreamers here in a minute. Mm-hmm. And so based on that, I thought it would be better to have the town hall later and that so that we could share those latest developments, because those are meaningful for those of us here in the Brazos Valley and throughout Central Texas.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us in the studio today. We haven't heard anything in the last, I don't know, week about the speaker's race. I guess there's talk that goes on behind the scenes, but and we're going to have elections coming up too. But how are you seeing that race right now?
I really haven't seen too much activity in the race. There was a little bit of chatter right after Paul announced that he was going to run for re-election, and then you've seen a little bit of jockeying for the speaker's position as well as other leadership positions. That said, my admonition to everybody, and also my responses to media, have been: we've got three other things to think about first before you start thinking about the speaker's race. Number one is we have a legislative agenda to accomplish that's still only about 50% done. We have to get individually reelected, and we also have to hold a majority as Republicans. If you don't do any of those three things, then the speaker's race is really a moot point.
Well, of course, when you change the spot at the top, that may shift some other things around. You've been in a leadership role before.
Correct.
Do you see that there could be some changes with that change in speaker?
Well, yes. I mean, particularly if Kevin McCarthy becomes the next Speaker of the House, then we're going to have to elect a new majority leader on the GOP side. And if Steve Scalise moves in that role, then we've got to elect a new whip. And then, you know, typically there's a ripple-down effect.
Sure.
And so there's several other leadership positions that would have to be filled.
So where's an opportunity for you?
Oh, I think, well, there's several of them. There, for lack of a better term, there's sort of two career paths in Congress, if you want to call it a career. I don't, but I'm just doing that for discussion purposes. One is to try to move up through your committee to become a vice chair of a subcommittee or a chair, or then vice chair or chair of the full committee, or you can get into the leadership, speaker, majority leader, and so on. Both those are still options for me. I think that my preference at this point is to focus on my committee work. I think that's where I'm able to make the biggest impact on Texas, and so that's where I'm spending my time. But again, I think we need to worry about the big things. Get our legislative agenda accomplished, working with the president, get ourselves reelected individually, and then make sure that we hold a majority.
You mentioned the Dreamers, a coalition of seven states, Texas pretty much leading that coalition, called on a federal court yesterday, I guess, to immediately halt the DACA program. Talk about that and your thoughts.
Well, the DACA program is an outgrowth of an earlier program that President Obama did illegally, and the court stopped him on that, and that was basically deferred action for the folks that came here illegally. And so he re-upped and did the same thing for the Dreamers. Since those actions were illegal, then it's appropriate for the courts to step in. I don't, if I had been the Attorney General Ken Paxton, I would not have filed the lawsuit. I would have waited for Congress to act. That said, what he did, I don't think is all bad, because it forces Congress to get off their rears and to get an immigration bill passed. And I think that we're getting close. I mean, the Goodlatte bill is in the House. We're hoping to get 218 votes pretty soon, because if we can get to 218 on the Republican side, I know we'll have some Democrats join us, because of the six pillars that are in it, they're important to all of us. I mean, border security is part of it, a path to legal status for the Dreamers, dealing with chain migration, dealing with E-Verified, increasing the number of ag visas because we're short on labor in the agricultural sector, and then also have mandatory E-Verify so that the folks that are working are legal to work.
Well, it's doubly tough for Texas when we're talking law enforcement, we're talking health care. There are a whole lot of different expenses that are involved in this, and Texas feels the brunt of that, quite honestly.
We do. We absolutely do. So I'm not being critical of the Attorney General. It was his prerogative to do this, and when I sort of parsed through the pros and cons of filing litigation, I think it could be helpful because it could force Congress to hurry up and act. And I've been disappointed that Congress has been so slow to deal with this. But we have a pretty rowdy group of folks to deal with on both sides of the aisle.
Well, I'm sure, and Paxton has to deal with other people. He's leading this coalition, if you
right.
will, and they feel like since he's the tip of the spear, maybe he needs to
right.
be doing that sort of thing.
Right, and then it could be helpful for us in terms of coming up a solution for border security for the Dreamers, the two big issues that cut across all ideologies. I think all of us want stronger border security. All of us want, or at least 80% of the country wants to have a path to legal status for the Dreamers.
Sure. Finally, anything else that you'd want to touch on?
Yeah, a couple of things. This afternoon, we're going to have a reception for the winners of the art contest in District 17. We had some really great talent show up this year and produce pieces for us, mm-hmm. and so we're going to have that reception. I look forward to honoring the winners of that. We hang one piece in the Capitol, and then eight pieces will be hung in our four offices. And then also the Bryan College Station and the Waco Chambers of Commerce are going to be in Washington next week, and
okay.
I'm excited. I've got a great lineup of speakers for them, including our two senators, the Speaker of the House, and some other bipartisan leadership.
And this has changed. They sit in a room now. The members of the chambers sit in the room, and the leaders, the speakers, actually come to them rather than having to troop all over the Capitol. Logistically, it's a lot better.
Well, it is, and plus the thing that makes a difference to the folks that are coming to Washington is they get to sit down and talk to the principals mm-hmm. instead of talking to staff. And so this is an experiment we tried about 6 years ago, and everybody really likes it. Actually, the Austin Chamber is going to come up, and we're the go-to office for the Austin Chamber, and we've set up the same format for them starting about 4 years ago. They really like it as well. So it's a really good way for grassroots America to get to talk to principals in Congress.
Sure. Okay. Well, again, thank you for the time this morning.